Today we explain the proper Christian understanding of the relationship between the state and the church. The concept of state is complex, and therefore, the term is not always used in the same sense. Some understand by it rather the authority, the power, the government. Others rather the social organism, the nation. We may say that the state consists of the authority as the formal element and of the multitude as the material element. From this we can form an approximate definition of the state as being a stable union of families and of individuals in a determined territory under the same authority for the purpose of procuring the common good. The concept of nation includes unity of race and history, which is not a necessary element of the politically constituted state. Varied and contradictory are the opinions about the origin of the state as a civil society and about the nature of the state as a supreme authority, such as the following. Contractualism, following the thought of the philosophers Hobbes and Rousseau, holds that civil society originates from a contract or convention of primitive men who, motivated by the desire of eliminating individual strife and disorders, have renounced the fullness of their private liberty by subjecting themselves to a general will personified in the sovereign state. This conception is imaginary and without historical foundation. Absolutism holds that the state is all and the individual is for the state. This concept is dominant in paganism and in various forms was adhered to by Plato and Aristotle. But absolutism has gained strength in modern times through the idealistic theories of Hegel and his followers, who consider the state as something divine, as a religion, as an absolute will, which absorbs the life and liberty of the human person. Such is state worship with a pantheistic background, which has been used in support of totalitarian despotic regimes of our time. Theories of this kind, which represent a retrogression to abandoned pagan conceptions, are refuted, if not otherwise, by their evil consequences. Liberalism, in harmony with the principles of the French Revolution, affirms the sovereignty of the people and the perfect equality of citizens in the exercise of their proper rights. The state is a delegate of the people, with the function of maintaining public order and of regulating by legislation the harmony and the equilibrium of the individual freedoms. This is the theory of the gendarme state, to which Kant also contributed by separating ethics and law, leaving the former to the autonomy of individual reason and the latter to the protection, rather negative than positive, of the state. The liberal state is agnostic not only politically and economically, but also with reference to the problem of religion and to the church. Positivism, basing itself on evolutionistic theories, explains the origin and the nature of the state after the fashion of the natural development of an organism, without the influence of immutable principles or of free will, but according to a deterministic law. All these and other theories, although having some true points, sin by way of exaggeration. They concede too much either to nature, or to the human will, or to the authority of the state, or to the individual. But their gravest fault is absolutism, which makes of the state an idol to which the sacred personality of man must be immolated. It seems strange that democratic trends such as socialism are inspired also by this same concept, attributing to the state direct and immediate interference in the interest and in the private life of the individuals. With respect to the problem of religion, all these theories are either deficient or erroneous, because they suggest either the disinterestedness of the state, in liberalism, or the absorption of religion in the very life of the state declared to be divine, ethical, religious, in idealistic absolutism, or the open persecution and elimination of every positive religion, of the Catholic Church especially, such as in atheistic communism and socialism. Against such doctrines, which bear poisonous fruits in the politico-social field, stands the Christian doctrine with its classical traditions, with its human and divine principles, drawn from reason and revelation. Recently, this doctrine has been summarized, illustrated, and proclaimed by Leo XIII, especially in the encyclicals Immortale Dei, Libertas, and Rerum Novarum, by Pius XI in his Quadragesimo Anno, and by Pius XII in various allocutions. From these and other documents of the ecclesiastical magisterium, we can draw the following fundamental outline of Christian doctrine with respect to civil society, the state, and the relations of the state with the church. First, society, like the family unit, has a natural origin, because man is social by nature, as Aristotle says, and insufficient unto himself. He needs the organized help of his fellows to be able to develop his aptitudes and to attain his end. Since it is natural, society has God himself as its author. Second, the goal of society and of the state is the common good of the temporal order, distinct from and superior to the private good. The pursuit of this end requires juridical protection, which defends rights and assures justice in the relations of subjects among themselves, and positive assistance or help to all kinds of private initiative, economic, industrial, cultural, etc. In pursuing the common good, the state cannot impede, but must, on the contrary, facilitate for citizens the attainment of the supernatural end itself, to which all men are destined. Third, the authority of the state comes from God. The people, by their will, explicit or implicit, have only the function of designating the person or the subject of the authority. Fourth, in view of the objective subordination of the temporal end of man to his supernatural end, it is evident that the Church, as a religious society instituted by God precisely for the supernatural end, cannot be dependent on the state. The state, on the contrary, must be indirectly subordinate to the Church by avoiding interference in spiritual things concerning the Church, and also by avoiding such legislation and action in temporal matters which would impede in any way the exercise of religious authority over the faithful, respecting in the faithful the right of religious freedom. Fifth, the state has the duty of recognizing and professing religion, because the state, like the family and the individual, derives from and depends on God. Consequently, the state, in strict logic and in strict justice, has the obligation of defending the Catholic Church and of prohibiting other religious cults. Only as a prudential measure may it tolerate them. Sixth, in order to avoid harmful conflicts with a state which does not follow these principles, the Church negotiates a concordat, which is a bilateral agreement on rights and duties, reservation always being made of the principle of the superiority of the Church.